My dear friends, the church begins the second phase of Lent with an extended meditation on the baptism, a key gospel passage that has been taught to catechumens of the early church as they prepare to receive the sacraments of initiation at the Easter Vigil, baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist. Our gospel of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well is the longest dialogue in the four gospels. I'm quite sure that Father Richard would have needed taken a break in reading this gospel because he's all about intermissions and popcorn and all that stuff. If you ever go to a movie with him, he's all about the popcorn and all that. So this is very, very lengthy for him. St. Teresa of Calcutta is also known as, to many of us, as Mother Teresa, founded a religious community known as the Missionaries of Charity. The community has a particular charism to seek and thirst for Christ, knowing that Christ thirsts for us. The dedication and selfless nature of these sisters radiates a sheer joy to all they encounter. Some of our seminarians have had the opportunity to spend a summer with the Missionaries of Charity in the Bronx, Chicago, and in Gary. Their summer experiences are filled with many challenges and discomforts, as well as a great time of tremendous growth in serving others, a growth in their faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the radiating joy the sisters possess. These men have returned, changed in their hearts, and have a thirst for something greater. When visiting the Missionaries of Charity, there's a simplicity of life that these sisters follow in the four vows they profess: poverty, chastity, obedience, and the fourth vow, to give wholehearted free service to the poorest of the poor. Inside their chapels, you're struck by the immediate simplicity and austerity of the sacred space. The sisters enter the chapel barefoot and sit on the floor as they face the tabernacle behind the altar, the statue of Mary off to the side. As you raise your eyes above the tabernacle, there stands the image of a large crucifix with bold letters on the wall next to the body of Jesus saying, "I thirst." These words are taken from Christ on Good Friday and are a constant reminder to the charism and purpose of the Missionaries of Charity. St. Teresa of Calcutta said, "We have these words in every chapel of the Missionaries of Charity to remind us what it means to be a missionary of charity, to quench the thirst of Jesus for souls, for love, for kindness, for compassion, and for delicate love." In our scripture readings, we find a thirst among humanity. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel were grumbling among themselves, wondering why Moses took them out of Egypt to a place where they're hungry and thirsty. Why? The Israelites are pretty much saying that the life of slavery in Egypt is far better than the thirst and hunger they have now. Needless to say, a lot of whining is taking place. Is there any chance that Israel could even hear the voice of the Lord crying out within their hearts, their hardened hearts, who are closed off to the Lord's voice? A person's heart can be closed off and hardened for several reasons, such as a painful life experience, insecurity, fear, tragedy, disease, cancer, and others. These are real difficult situations in our human life experiences, and we cannot neglect them. When our hearts become hardened, they close in on themselves and refuse to go out. And when this happens, the person creates a world within oneself, all closed in within oneself, in one's own community or one's parish, but always closed and pointed inwardly. In some ways, we can make sense of Israel's complaining. The quenching of their thirst was beyond their means, and they had to look outside of themselves to receive this gift. Moses followed what the Lord commanded when he said, Strike the rock and the water will flow from it for the people to drink. In the gospel, Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well who was in search for water. He says to the woman, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This conversation between Jesus and the woman was a countercultural thing. To find a Jew initiating a conversation with a Samaritan, Jesus is a rule breaker. Through her encounter with Jesus at the well, the woman is led on her journey of faith to recognize who he really is. In this progression of recognizing more and more who Jesus is, we find the way she addresses him starting to change. As her faith develops, it transforms in how she addresses Jesus. She initially addresses Jesus in a very respectful manner at the well, calling him sir. As the story continues, her perception of Jesus' identity becomes clearer by saying, "He is a prophet. He is the Christ." And by the end of the gospel, he is truly the Savior of the world. The Samaritan woman's thirst moved from a conditional thirst for drinking water to a supernatural gift from God. The symbol of water in this encounter with a woman is foreshadowing the sacrament of baptism, the source of new life for faith in God's grace. Pope Benedict XVI indicates the water represents the Holy Spirit, the gift par excellence that Jesus came to bring on part of God the Father. Whoever is reborn by water and by the Holy Spirit, that is in baptism, enters a real relationship with God, a filial relationship, and can worship him in spirit and truth, as Jesus went on to reveal to the Samaritan woman. Friends, the dialogue between Jesus and the Samaritan woman teaches us about the importance of prayer. The Old Testament readings at Mass during Lent have taught us that biblical religion is not the story of our search for God, although that is the instinct for communion that God creates within the human heart. Biblical religion is all about God's coming into history in search for us and following God's plan for the future. The key to this episode in the gospel, it's not that Jesus reveals the hidden secrets of her past life, but that his thirst for her faith initiated a genuine conversation, a dialogue, a prayer. God thirsts for us always. Pilgrims can meet God anywhere in their journey and at any time, just as we saw with a Samaritan woman. Our thirst for God is to be faithful in our discipleship and receiving of the sacramental graces in baptism, confirmation, and the Most Holy Eucharist. Jesus, help us thirst for your goodness always so that we may give ourselves completely to you. God love you.